Hello and welcome to The Preservationists, the monthly radio show for fans of local historic architecture, the history of unique buildings, and the people from our community working to preserve and restore them. I'm Astronomist Ray, the Vice President and a board member at Lower Columbia Preservation Society, and the host of The Preservationists. This month we are chatting with Becky Johnson, a local business owner of Astoria Vintage Hardware. Astoria Vintage Hardware has architectural salvage, home furnishings, repurpose, with preservation being a core value. Becky, how are you doing today?
I am great. Thank you for inviting me.
Great. And Becky, how long have you lived here in Astoria for?
Well, actually, I don't live in Astoria. I live a little bit south of Astoria in Surf Pines.
Oh, okay. So what brought you to this area originally? Were you born and raised here, around here?
I was born and raised in Portland, but I spent every month of August with my family in Seaside. And my family has been coming to Seaside since the turn of the century. I have photos of my great aunts at the turnaround in like 1905. And so it was just a really special place that I was connected to. My heart was to the ocean. And before I moved here permanently, my husband and I, Michael, we were living just southeast of Seattle. We both worked at corporate Nordstrom at the time. And whenever we came to the coast, it was always hard for us to leave. Like Sunday night, we would leave like at 11:30 at night because we just didn't want to go back home, even though we had a beautiful home on a lake. It just, the sea was calling us. And so instead of waiting until we retired, we're like, why don't we do it now? So we took a leap of faith and moved to the coast, and that's where we raised our kids.
Very nice. Yes, the ocean definitely brings us.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah.
So being the owner of Astoria Vintage Hardware, I want to know, how did that all begin? Because you've been in business for quite some time now.
I know. I can't believe it. I think it's like nearly 15 years. Well, before Vintage Hardware, I had created a type of a artisan boutique co-op, and it started out as a pop-up before there was pop-ups at the Grange, Colby Lake Grange, and we would do those on Memorial Day and Labor Day. And then we got a little bit more serious. There was about six of us, and took a space in Warrenton, and then we started to be weekends. First monthly and then weekends. And then I met Paul Tudor, and he and I wanted to take things a little bit more seriously. And so we just started talking about things and what the community needed. And he had a storage unit with 150 doors. And he's like, what do we do with all this? And we're just like, well, why not do something with these doors and create a space for those people here who are trying to restore their homes so they don't have to go to Portland to Hippo Hardware or Aurora Mills and create an architectural salvage, you know, home goods store. And so that's what we did.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you guys kind of went into this store with already a creative project going, and now you wanted to kind of direct it more towards that preservation and restoration side and providing for this community out here.
Absolutely.
That's great. And what year did this all take place?
I think it first started back in 2008. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So going into opening your first store with Astoria Vintage Hardware, you guys had several locations. Yes. Most recent is the JCPenney building.
Right.
How do you like the JCPenney building? Because I know there's, you know, so much space. It's historical. You know, how do you incorporate that in what you do at Astoria Vintage Hardware?
I felt like it was a big responsibility moving into that store because that store is very iconic and very important to the community. And I didn't take it lightly. I did not want to disappoint our community because we were all sad when JCPenney left. I mean, it served a huge role in our town. So I just really wanted to make everybody proud of how we kept that building and kind of gave it a new life and a new look. And it appears people are really happy with it. But yeah, that's been our sixth location. And every time I'm like, I'm never going to move again, and we never will. But I wish somebody would have told me this, you know, back when. But indeed, it is location, location, location. I was never on commercial before because for me, it felt like it would be really claustrophobic to get things, the big things in and out. But luckily with Duane Street, we can accommodate that. But I would say, according to, you know, our historical data with the square, over 80% of our customers are new every day. So just that foot traffic alone, it's really phenomenal. So the space has been a real blessing and a real honor to be in that building.
Yes, 80% is a huge number. It makes a huge difference. Yes. So what sparked your interest in architectural salvage and preservation and restoration and the history of it? Did you grow up around it? Did you study it? Where does that passion stem from?
I've been thinking about that because I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house. And it was, my grandfather was an entrepreneur, inventor, and sometimes he had money, but most of the time he didn't. But my grandparents had amazing intellect and taste, and being at their house was kind of like being at, you know, Great Expectations home, where, you know, sometimes they had power and sometimes they didn't, and there'd be cobwebs on the chandeliers, and I was always a little scared to spend the night there. But the beautiful things and the books and the furniture, I think, just had such an impact on me. And when they passed away when I was 16, sometimes I think an appreciation for certain design and architecture and furniture skips a generation. So my mom was not interested in their antiques. She was more of a mid-century modern gal. And so I asked her to save their furniture for me, and my parents did. And so I have almost every single one of their pieces still in my house to this day. So I would say growing up in that situation and just appreciating just the art of antiques and the beauty and kind of their stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you can connect that back to, you know, growing up. Yeah. That's really special. It makes it more passion driven.
Well, thanks to you, you know, with that question, it had me really thinking, because I didn't really know why I had a passion for these things. But it is a passion to want to keep things alive and beautify them or re-beautify them or repurpose them.
Yes, absolutely. And one thing that's interesting about, you know, having these antiques is, a question that may arise is, how do you go about preserving them over time? Because, you know, sometimes you can get things in pretty bad condition. Yeah. And how do you go about fixing them up and keeping them intact? Is there a special method you use, or?
You know, not really. But what I will say is, a lot of it, there isn't a lot to be done other than like cleaning them and maybe, you know, giving them some oil or stain, because they are so well made. That's the thing. That's the problem now with the newer pieces of furniture. They're not made. That's why these pieces are still here, because of their craftsmanship and the materials that they use. So there's very little that we have to do other than just elbow grease. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that statement. They're meant to last. Is there any interesting antiques that you've come across or historically significant items in your store that tell a story about, you know, something that's super significant or interesting in history?
I remember like one of our first estate sales that we went to, goodness, it probably was in 08, was at the oldest house in Astoria. And it was moved to the location that it's at now. And I have some of the pieces from there. So I'm very lucky. My home, you know, I get to kind of cherry pick the special pieces. So just having the opportunity to go to that home and get some pieces was special. We had a wheelhouse that I think was really, really cool. And I finally, people will remember it. We had it at Vintage Hardware for, oh golly, about 6 or 7 years. And when we had to move from Marine Drive to JCPenney, there was no way we could fit it into that building. And I think that was pretty iconic and super cool. And when I finally was able to let it go, I was really happy that it stayed in the county. So it's down in Gearhart at a little boutique motel. And so they're enjoying it. And that was pretty historic. And it was on a boat that was in the television show Route 66.
Wow, that's so cool. So going out and, you know, finding these pieces that you mentioned that you were at an estate sale.
Yeah.
Is that how you source all of the materials? Or where did these items come from?
I know. I am so blessed. That was in the very beginning when we would go to, you know, estate sales and garage sales. But now, you know, I'm so fortunate that the community has embraced vintage hardware so much that they come to us. So we get phone calls, drop bys, emails every day. With people having things that they want to sell and I'm just so fortunate, and I'm really honored to say that I'd say 99% of our inventory is all from this county.
It's really huge.
It's really special. And it's really funny too, because sometimes, you know, we'll get a piece in and then somebody will come in and like, oh, that's my neighbor's piece. And then they'll buy it. And it just kind of keeps circulating. And I think that's what's so important about this business, is just to keep it circulating and keep it alive. And because it's so well made, that's not a hard job to do.
And that's kind of amazing that we can have that, you know, mindset of repurposing, because this is pretty environmental friendly. You know, it's the most green way to go by reusing. And I know that's kind of one big part of, you know, assorted vintage hardware is values, is that it's good for the environment, that, you know, we're not destroying these items. We're keeping them repurposed.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm really excited about the generation right now, because, you know, back when we started, it wasn't really, you know, a thing, but now everybody is so conscientious of it. And then the folks who are buying their first home now are making it a priority to not go to IKEA, to other, you know, stores for brand new, whereas they want to invest and keep, you know, the good inventory and the well-made pieces and the things that have a story and the pieces that have character, because that's another thing that's so important about our kind of vintage and antique. They have such amazing character, and I just really appreciate that that is on trend now.
Do you have a specific process for or criteria that you use when you get messages, people come into the store and they say, I want to, you know, give this to Story and Vintage Hardware. Mm-hmm. Is there a specific criteria that you use to determine whether or not it would be appropriate or suitable for your store? Is there a process?
You know, not necessarily. I mean, one of the things that I'm proud to say about Vintage Hardware is that we're not just a store, a retail, but I'd like to think that we provide a service, because it's one thing when a person has a dresser or a table, but we often get people that have an entire household, like where their parent has passed away or they have to go to assisted living and they're in a situation where, what do I do with all this stuff? So Vintage Hardware likes to provide a service, not just to go in and cherry pick and just take the best of the things that we can sell, but to help that person with the estate. And whether it's to provide them, you know, with services for an estate sale or refer them to somebody else to do like the scrapping or the clean out or whatever it takes to help that situation. So we kind of like to provide that whole service. As far as like knowing if it will work for Vintage Hardware, it's probably mostly like an age thing. It has to be more old than new.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's the preliminary one. And just to know what, you know, our customers want is most important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that kind of brings up the point of, you know, with these older pieces that you get, how do you go about finding out the history? Is there a way that you guys can determine that? Or is there anybody that, you know, just comes with you and says, this is a hit, you know, this is from the 1920s? Or
yeah. Unfortunately, there's, you know, I'm not an appraiser. I kind of wish I was, but I, you know, I just don't have time to do that kind of research. But because everything is mostly local, the families can tell us the story. So Most of the pieces, I'd say, are East Lake. That's, you know, very popular around here. But every once in a while, we'll get a home where the pieces, you know, came with the family from overseas. So a lot of European pieces will come our way. But again, it's, of course, it's Google Lens. Yeah. Not going to lie. That is such an asset. But more so, it's just having that relationship with the family and them telling us how the family accumulated the furniture in that piece.
And that's a great way to connect, too.
Well, I love to tell people when they buy pieces, and I know, you know, the home that it came from, and to tell them about that home or the family, or just let them know that it has a lot of good juju with it because it came from a, you know, a wonderful home.
Is there a common piece of architectural salvage that people come looking for often? Is there a common item? Because you guys have a lot.
We have a lot. Like, for the very specific, it'd be like hardware, like that one drawer pull that is missing or that broke. But that's a really hard one. That's really tricky. I'd say furniture is our number one seller. As far as architecture, doors. Yeah, doors, of course, windows. But windows, they're repurposing, like making greenhouses. They're not using the windows to replace windows. Clawfoot tubs, people really like and reuse. But as far as furniture, dressers and bookcases, which is great. That means people are still actually reading the actual, you know, hard books. So I'd say those are the two that come to mind that are most popular. And it's sad, like desks aren't so much anymore because, you know, all of our kind of laptop, you know, all of our equipment is so small right now, but they got really popular during COVID.
We'll return back to Becky Johnson, the owner of Astoria Vintage Hardware, in just a moment. I'd like to take a minute to invite you to this month's Topics in Preservation. Topics in Preservation is a monthly discussion and conversation hosted by the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS. This month's topic is paint. Colors, ideas, tips, and more. All things paint, exterior and interior. This is happening on Wednesday, July 17th at 6 p.m. at the LCPS office located on 389 12th Street in downtown Astoria. For more information, you can find us on our website at www.lcpsociety.org. And you can also find us on Facebook or Instagram. We hope to see you at this month's Topics in Preservation. Now, returning back to our guest for this month, Becky Johnson, the owner of Astoria Vintage Hardware. Now, Becky, I'm curious to know, is there any challenges that you face when trying to restore or preserve some of these pieces that you may end up with?
If anything is, you know, we might pass if it's really horrible. I think our biggest concern is like powder post beetles that come in and that can really destroy the piece. So, of course, we're not going to bring that into the store. Again, it's just simply elbow grease and maybe some gluing. But these pieces are, you know, really in people, they've been in people's homes. Now, we recently had the opportunity for a pick out in Ridgefield, kind of outside of Battleground in Washington. And that's like the furthest, you know, that we really go. But we were invited to this pick because a river pilot here on the Columbia lives out there and he bought the adjoining property. And it was probably the most rewarding pick that we've ever had, like a house, three barns and a horse arena full of furniture. And so I'd say like that it's all pretty well preserved, but just mostly just cleaning. So it's a huge honor. You know, the pieces that we've been bringing in from that pick would be equivalent to, you know, like Seattle, you know, Portland. It's like, oh my goodness, what an honor that Vintage Hardware has these just really unique, like apothecary and office type beautiful wood cabinets and files that we would be able to, you know, offer to our community.
Yes, and I'm sure over the years you have very many success stories of people that may have come in and found something that's a key role in their preservation project.
I guess just overall, Vintage Hardware is very serendipitous. people, you know, they come in sometimes on a mission to find something and sometimes not. And when they're not on a mission, then they find something that they actually do need is really special. This gentleman was actually off of the river cruise boat.
Oh, yeah.
So he was from Maine.
Oh.
And he found a piece, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he found a piece that he has been looking for decades, and he found it at Vintage Hardware. And so that was just, it happens a lot there. It just, it's a magical space, and it's mostly due to the community because, you know, the merchandise is from the community supports us, and I think that is just kind of felt through the whole vibes of the store.
Yes, community plays a big role in that. How do you see the future of architectural salvage, you know, blooming? Because I know we talked a little bit about this with future generations having sustainability in mind, because there's an increased focus on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just, that's so important, having that core value and being able to take care of what we already have and to protect it and nurture it. In a lot of things, you know, whether it's a piece of furniture or your home. And I'm, you know, it's exciting that I get so many customers that are here in Astoria looking for a home to buy because they want to preserve it and they want that historic home. So I think that is, it's so important. I don't think it's going to fade. I don't think it's a fad. I don't think it's trendy. I think it's becoming part of our core values to take care of the past and to honor it and to appreciate the workmanship.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any pieces of advice for anybody who's looking to start a preservation or restoration project?
I think, you know, it's great because they already must have that piece. So they fell in love with the piece already. And so then they want to, you know how to take care of it and redo it or enhance it. I'm an upholsterer by trade. And so I would say that, and I didn't even think about that as being like a restorer. I was just having a conversation with a friend last night and I was just like, I don't really restore things because I'm not a wood person. I don't really do that. And I'm like, what am I talking about? I know about an upholsterer. So I went to upholstery school in Dothan, Alabama and did upholstery for many years, which allowed me to be a stay-at-home mom. And when I was doing it here, I had a 2-year wait list. It was just like, it's a great demand and need. And so with that said, I think what's most important is having the right tools, because that's how you get your job well done, if you don't have the right tools. And then aside from that is perhaps finding somebody to mentor you or go to somebody that can, you know, explain what to do is very important. I think that's even more important than going to school, is finding a mentor or somebody that you look up to and to get their advice and tutelage. And then, let's face it, YouTube is not too shabby. So,
yeah. And I love what you say about having a mentor, because in this community, you can definitely build a strong community of preservation when you have people you can go to.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what's so important about what Clatsop Community College offers, is the, you know, historic preservation program. And just knowing and seeing what they're teaching and those folks, the students, what they're bringing to the community and how they network. It's just taking Astoria to the next level.
It really is. Yes. Now, with your passion for historic preservation and restoration and these antiques, why is it so meaningful to you? And what do you wish more people knew about preservation and restoration?
The passion is just really seeing the beauty. Like, I see pieces sometimes, well, all the time, that really take my breath away. And because, you know, they were probably hand carved and how they were made and where they were made. And I think I would like people to go back to that moment where, what's the story about this piece? And even more so, I would love if the piece could tell its story, like where it's been and the stories they heard, the heartbreaks and happiness and the joys and the weddings and the funerals that they've been in those rooms. in those houses.
Yeah, because history really connects us all.
It really does. And I know, you know, we don't take these things when we go, but when you surround yourself with things that you love, mm-hmm. it makes for a beautiful life. And it doesn't matter if it's design worthy or if it's on trend. It's just, I think that's what I would love to embark on people is, you know, whether it's old or new, but just appreciating the workmanship and the craftsmanship that went into that piece, the story, the life it led, and now you chose it to beautify your space.
Yes, I agree. There's definitely a lot of beauty in these historical pieces, and they're very handcrafted and they're very intentional. So I love that. So is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about preservation or history? Do you want to share maybe future plans?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really excited to, this is coming out, you know, for the first time. Now I'm working on a new project. Myself and Jason, who works at Vintage Hardware, and our friend Kelly are opening a new business down in Uniontown. So it is called Uniontown Trading Company, and hopefully we'll be open by the end of July. And we're taking the space that would be across the street from the Workers Tavern, and it will be secondhand, but with a little bit of edge and a little bit of grit and a little bit of fun. So Vintage Hardware just has such an opportunity for a lot of inventory. And sometimes it doesn't really work for us because it's not old enough. So we really felt like there was a need in the community for some like really fun, funky, hipster inventory. And then really affordable pieces too. So it's not just going to be cool and funky, but it's going to be realistic where we even have like a back section set up like a garage sale, literally like with AstroTurf, where you can find stuff for $1 or $5. And it's just, again, allowing us to help people, you know, offload inventory or stuff that they don't want anymore and offer it to a community for a fair price, but with a lot of fun. And we're just super excited to bring a business, a retail in that area, and hopefully revitalize Uniontown just a little bit more.
That's really cool. That sounds like a very great idea.
It's pretty wild. It'll be great.
Thank you so much for sharing with us today. I really appreciate you taking time to come on the show and talk about this business. And it's really great. And it's really community centered, which is really great. So yeah. Thank you so much for joining me. My name's Astronomist Ray, and I'm here with
Becky Johnson.
Thank you for joining me, Becky. Be sure to tune in next month to The Preservationist. The Preservationist airs every third Tuesday of the month at 9:30 a.m. I'd like to give a special thanks to the team here at KMUN, the staff, volunteers, and members of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, and a special thanks to Camila Swerdloff for producing the theme song of The Preservationist. And thank you for listening, and remember, anyone can be a preservationist. The Preservationist is a production of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society for KMUN, written and produced by Astronomist Ray. Until next time, I'm Astronomist Ray.